faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast, where it just gets crazier. We run down the most insane things of the week. They have to be things we've never seen before. It's insane that I can do this podcast every week. Let's get started with the State of the Union address. This part is insane thing number six.
Look, nobody stands up. These people are crazy. I'm telling you, they're crazy.
Folks, this was more than a speech. This is a turning point, one of those before and after events, before the Democrats admitted that they care about illegal immigrants more than the safety of Americans, and after. An event that'll define politics for years to come. But this part, and what it implies, didn't get near enough attention this week. It's insane thing number six.
Among President Trump's State of the Union guests were Sage Blair and her mother, Michelle. The president sharing Sage's emotional story of how she says the school forced her into gender transition that led her life spiraling out of control.
Sage was 14 when school officials in Virginia sought to socially transition her to a new gender, treating her as a boy and hiding it from her parents. Hard to believe, isn't it? Before long, a confused Sage ran away from home after she was found in a horrific situation in Maryland. A left-wing judge refused to return Sage to her parents because they did not immediately state that their daughter was their son. Sage was thrown into an all-boys state home and suffered terribly for a long time. But today, all of that is behind them because Sage is a proud and wonderful young woman with a full ride scholarship to Liberty University.
And now Michelle Blair is suing her daughter's school. She joins us now with her lawyer, Bernadette Broyles. Thank you.
What's being described there in that Fox News segment and at the State of the Union is a totalitarian dictatorship where Democrats have more power than parents. Surely, at least in public. Democrats will pretend that's not where they're headed, right?
But surely we can all agree no state can be allowed to rip children from their parents' arms and transition them to a new gender against the parents' will. Who would believe that we've been talking about this? We must ban it, and we must ban it immediately. Look, nobody stands up. These people are crazy. I'm telling you, they're crazy.
Insane thing number five. The frog is damn near boiling. And I don't even think Republicans realize they're the frog. This shocking news this week was just one part of a Soviet-style system in which all Republicans of any prominence are surveilled by the FBI. With no crimes committed. Other than, of course, the crime of disagreeing with Democrats, which was literally treated as a crime under Joe Biden.
FBI Director Cash Patel out with an allegation that the prior FBI obtained his phone records, and not only his. What can you tell us about that?
Brett, this has been breaking in the last hour or so. We are told that, according to Cash Patel, the FBI director, the prior bureau leadership obtained his phone records and phone records to current White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles back in 2022 and 2023. This eventually led into the Jack Smith special counsel investigation into then former President Donald Trump. We're told that FBI Director Patel, in a statement to Fox News, calls this outrageous and deeply disturbing. And I will add, Brett, that we are told at least 10 bureau employees have been fired just today over this incident, with more potentially to come.
Okay, some of this tranche of records was their movements. They were tracking their movements by phone. The rest hasn't been disclosed, but we know their phone records. Now, keep in mind, in a separate case with the FBI revealed 2 years ago, Cash Patel found out they were surveilling all of his email and all of the email sent by members of his family. He found that out because by law, Gmail or whoever they get it from has to let you know 5 years after they're served with the request for surveillance. So they were getting his email, too. At the time, Kash Patel was knee-deep in cracking the Russiagate hoax. But it's the surveillance of Suzy Wiles that really speaks volumes. She's Donald Trump's chief of staff right now. But in 22 and 2023, when they were surveilling her, she was his top advisor, helped managing Trump's political operations and supporting his endorsed candidates. And then in 23, she was his co-campaign manager. She also at one point was running his PAC and was a key figure in his inner circle. Okay, folks, remember what I've pointed out to you many times on this podcast. Look at the fate of everyone who put Trump in power in 2016. Without exceptions, that team are all felons, 100%. A model I argued that Maduro copied almost identically after he saw Democrats do it, making it okay. Maduro in Venezuela, I mean. What you're looking at here was the FBI and the DOJ under Democrats getting ready to do it again while surveilling Trump to make sure he couldn't hurt them. Now, what we know now, but we didn't know then, is that Trump was actually in their internal polling, outpolling both Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. So this is the FBI taking an active role as an arm of the Democrat Party. But also, this is a part of Arctic Frost. And I don't know how to get the Republicans to wake the hell up about Arctic Frost. See, remember when Arctic Frost started? Donald Trump was already facing 700 years in prison. They'd already gotten one conviction. They were riding high on their horse. They thought he'd never take office again. Republicans would never win again. So they turned to what Soviets, Marxists, leftists always do at this point. They put the rest of the party, the whole opposition, in prison. That's what Arctic Frost was. Staggering. I've done whole podcasts on it. You can go back and look for them. Where literally any key figure in the Republican Party was surveilled, including TPUSA, Charlie Kirk, the law firms, the pollsters, the fundraisers, the PACs, even the Republican Attorneys General Association, you know, the state attorneys generals, they were being spied on. There was no part of the Republican Party that wasn't being spied on. When Kevin McCarthy won the speakership in 2023 after Republicans retook the Congress, within 2 weeks, they were spying. Had they managed to put Trump in prison, which, as I've explained before, was but for the grace of God, literally a series of miracles in these cases, these people, they'd all be either in prison or bankrupted with lawfare. Their ambition was, well, we got Trump and nobody said a thing. We'll put the whole Republican Party in prison. Why not? Part of the problem here, I think, is denial of reality. And part of the problem here is that our media on our side keeps covering these as one-offs. Oh, look over there. They spied on Kevin McCarthy. Oh, look over there. They're spying on Kash Patel. They don't see the whole picture. You can hear the frustration in my voice. But one article last week did capture it. In Just the News by John Solomon, Ray FBI opened 1,200 assessments of sensitive figures like politicians, journalists, and clergy. The FBI opened 1,200 probes related to politicians, journalists, religious leaders, academics, and social media influencers tied to, quote, sensitive investigative matters, unquote, using a special investigative tool that requires no factual predicate to launch. In other words, it's illegal and unconstitutional. They just start spying on you with no evidence of a crime. But damn it, when we report it, we never say that. Can you, if we did this to the Democrats, oh my, I kid you not, buildings would burn and they'd be able to articulate it. They broke the law to spy on us. They violated the Constitution. Why, for once, can't somebody in the media on our side just say it? You can't do this under the Fourth Amendment. We fought the revolution over it. Anyway, this comes from a Government Accountability Office report that was published, but only internally. So you can't see it. It was obtained, leaked, by Just the News, John Solomon's reporting outfit, last month. He was able to make it public last week. Now, the vast majority of these cases were eventually closed. Okay, I'm going to explain to you what that means. They built opposition research files for the future, finding nothing they could fabricate into a crime. They kept them in case they ever needed them to punish or destroy a person on our side. Folks, if you've listened to Battleground America for the last few weeks, you know this. As soon as the same damn FBI found the bioweapons labs the Chinese were operating, what did they do? They quickly destroyed the evidence, shut down the investigation, and then shut down the national monitoring program that's supposed to spy on Chinese activity that might be harmful to America. They shut the damn thing down while they were doing this. What else did they shut down? Remember when Customs and Border Patrol found those 19,000 licenses being surreptitiously shipped in through Chicago O'Hare? Remember when whistleblowers went to the FBI and said, oh, hey, those licenses are for the fake absentee ballots that China is generating for the Democrats? Both investigations not only shut down, but wiped off the FBI servers, which violates their internal protocol, including the evidence of the interview that they did with the whistleblower. See how this works? Folks, I kid you not, they have many elections to lose. We lose one, and the Bill of Rights is done. Free speech is finished, and this picks up this Soviet-style spying, and it goes on steroids. That's a fact. Because, and this is insane thing number three, Susan Rice, Obama's right-hand lady, bottom line that for us this week when she informed executives that they will get this treatment in the upcoming Democrat presidential term if they win again.
The corporate interests, the law firms, the universities, the media, it's not going to end well for them. For those that decided that it was, you know, that they would act in their perceived very narrow self-interest, which I would underscore is very short-term self-interest, and, you know, take a knee to Trump. If these corporations think that the Democrats, when they come back in power, are going to, you know, play by the old rules and say, oh, never mind, we'll forgive you for all the people you've fired, all the policies and principles you've violated, all, I think they've got another thing coming.
And then she made it really specific.
And so I think, you know, whether you're a law firm, whether you're a university, whether you're a media entity, whether you're a big corporation, whether you're big tech, you need to play a long game, not this short game that has been so detrimental. There will be an accountability agenda. You know, companies already are starting to hear they better preserve their documents. They better be ready for subpoenas.
If you have really good lawyers, the kind that these corporate titans have, they are watching all of this. And they're saying, my gosh, this is what they're advising Alex Karp of Palantir, who announced this week that he's moving all their operations to Florida, where Jeff Bezos just moved his operations. Mark Zuckerberg this week announced, yep, moving to Florida, along with the founders of WhatsApp, Stripe, the two co-founders of Google, who, last I looked, are not Republican. And it's all happened really in about the last 8 months and really the last couple months. Why? Because their very high-priced corporate lawyers are watching all of this and they're going, my gosh, if they could do this to Donald Trump, where Trump Enterprises, I mean, it's $1 billion valuation there, former president, and put him into prison or try to on clearly trumped up charges, what can they do to you? And you know what they're advising them? You're going to have to move to the reddest federal court district in the reddest state court district. That is Florida, for your own protection. Folks, understand and remember what she's telling you right here as we go forward. If they win in 2028, they will not make the mistake they made last time. They thought they had a lot of time. They'd completely conquered the Republican Party. The only leader who could beat him in the polls was well on his way to prison. And they did the gradual clampdown, the gradual end on free speech, the gradual persecution. They were working up to show trials in Arctic Frost. They won't go gradual next time. It's going to shock you what they do on day 1, 5, and 7 of the new Democrat dictator or presidency if they win in 28. And she's warning. But think about this. If you're a corporate attorney, you're watching this. If those were the old rules, what are the new rules? Insane thing number 3 was how insane this drove the liberal media and Democrats.
This is all about our country right now. I love the USA. I love my teammates. It's unbelievable. The USA Hockey Brotherhood is so strong. And we have so much support from ex-players. And I'm so proud to be American today.
And quite frankly, the victory was a little insane, in part because it was so toxically male and glorious. He takes a stick to the face, chips 2 of his teeth, clean out knocks 1 out. He's bleeding. And so what does he do? Keeps playing and wins. But that wasn't even the best part. No. Anybody else wouldn't have been blamed for, you know, going off and getting all the blood running out of his mouth treated. But no, he doesn't even bother. He sits there giving interviews while he bleeds out his mouth from his broken teeth. We used to have men like this. They fought and won wars. They did whatever it took to get it done. That alone would have enraged them. But then the hockey team was seen partying with Kash Patel, FBI director, afterward in the locker room, and God forbid, accepted a phone call from Donald Trump. And the rage began. Here's just a few of the liberal media headlines. The ugly underbelly of the U.S. men's hockey victory. The U.S. men's Olympic hockey team won gold and then lost the room. U.S. hockey team slammed for planned White House visit. Stupid, self-absorbed, and misogynistic. The Yahoo Sports headlines. Rot in hell. Team USA slammed. U.S. men's hockey team under fire after call with Trump. By the end of the week, they were pretending they were offended about the joke Trump made about meeting with the women's hockey team. But that story didn't hit till like Thursday. No, they were enraged for the same reason they spent a year raging at Caitlin Clark, who literally did nothing but almost tipped the WNBA into popularity because she's so damn good. But she's also white and straight, which is problematic. They trashed her. Folks, you know I've done podcasts on this. Trashed her. Why? She wouldn't disavow. She would not admit her privilege. The thrashing went on for almost a year, during which time it got so bad the referees would literally stand by while other black players beat her. She was called a controversial figure, even though she had never said even the slightest political or controversial thing, and that was the problem. And folks, that was the source of the rage at the hockey team. White and male, they must disavow. Remember, Caitlin Clark finally did disavow, saying, quote, "I want to say I've earned every single thing, but as a white person, there is privilege." She thought it would be enough for the beatings and the hatred of the press to subside, but it wasn't, because she screwed it up. She screwed it up when she said, "I want to say I've earned every single thing." So she came out and tried it again. Here's how that went. Caitlin Clark says she has white privilege and she wants to amplify the black women who built this league. That finally got them off her back. Had this horrific hockey victory occurred during the Biden administration, especially in the earlier years, Jack Hughes would have been destroyed. They could have still destroyed him, like they did to Gina Carano and so many people of that era, but they've lost their power now. Just like Sydney Sweeney managed to book even bigger projects after the debacle where they tried to take her down, ditto for Jack Hughes. The mainstream media's hatred of the hockey team by the end of the week just seemed to make them so much bigger. And he was greeted as a conquering hero at the State of the Union and on the ice in Newark when the team returned. Hughes was the one symbol, the one thing that the Democrats didn't dare remain seated for. And that says a lot, because when Trump suggested that Irina Zarudzka's neck/murder on Charlotte Light Rail was a bad thing, and we should fight it. They sat there and glared instead of standing and clapping. They're literally pro-murder. But even they didn't dare to stay on their butts for Jack Hughes. Folks, that's another massive cultural victory that never would have happened in the Biden era before we began to smash woke. By proving we are in fact the majority in the 2024 election, I can't tell you how necessary and powerful a lesson that was. Insane thing number two. Again, probably the quintessential moment that will define the politics of the next few years. This was that big of a deal. This is going to reverberate as the mask completely well and truly slipped on the Democrat Party in public at the State of the Union.
So tonight I'm inviting every legislator to join with my administration in reaffirming a fundamental principle. If you agree with this statement, then stand up and show your support. The first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens. Isn't that a shame? You should be ashamed of yourself not standing up. You should be ashamed of yourself.
And there it was. Do you remember after Trump was elected? For a few weeks there, the mainstream media tried to put Joe Biden's open border back in the bottle, acting like, well, he wasn't a good manager. He's kind of demented. Old Joe, you know, we didn't mean to open the border. It was just an accident. Nope. It's not going to fly anymore. That was really clear. But there was something about it that our side completely missed. Trump did not ask them to choose between illegals and Americans. That was already assumed they'd choose illegals. No, he asked them to choose between the safety of Americans and illegals. And they chose illegals. I've been telling you this for years, folks. Democrats truly believe that you have no right to safety as an American, to want safety as an American from the worst people on earth who will be allowed and were allowed to cross that border. That's racist. That's how they think. But it got even more insane when Democrats were offered a cleanup on aisle three. Come on. The media was practically begging Senate leader Chuck Schumer. Come on, walk it back, man. So we can say this never happened. Give us something. Come on, you didn't really mean you prefer illegals to the safety of Americans, right, Chuck? Here's his full, unedited answer.
Of course we support Americans. We're not going to be a prop in Donald Trump's little show.
But note what Schumer didn't say when answering the question on the Democrats' refusal to stand up. He didn't say, of course we support Americans over illegal immigrants. He just said, of course we support Americans. Democrat leader and former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was given the same opportunity by a media practically begging her to walk it back. Come on, Nance. You didn't really mean you support illegals over Americans.
In the preamble to the Constitution, we the people of the United States, remember that it's all about the people, what the people want, what the people think, that's freedom. We the people of the United States form a more perfect union, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, the list goes on. In that preamble, all of that ignored in that speech last night.
Like Schumer, she didn't answer the question, claiming that the president's State of the Union speech ignored the U.S. Constitution. Democrats literally refused to stand when President Trump said the government should serve Americans. Instead, she just reads the preamble that mentions the people. Left unsaid, of course, is that Democrats consider illegal immigrants the people. Which leads us to insane thing number one. You'd think the most insane thing of the week would have to be the mask ripped off the Democrats, not standing when given the choice, American safety or illegals. It's what I originally planned to put in this number one most insane thing place this week, until this happened. News from deep inside the TSA that Joe Biden's administration deliberately let illegal immigrant sex offenders into the country. Pedophiles, rapists, serial rapists, creators of child porn, possessors of child porn, all convicted in their countries or convicted here as illegal immigrants and then deported. All you had to do was sign a form that ironically, hysterically was entitled Department of Homeland Security, this is anything but secure, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Order of Release on Reconnaissance. The first box you had to check that you do not associate with known gang members, criminal associates, or be associated with any such activity, and that you register in a sexual deviancy counseling program within 14 days and provide ICE with written proof of such within 30 days. You must provide ICE with the name of the program, the address of the program, duration and objectives of the program, as well as the name of the counselor. Now, if you've been convicted in the U.S. but tossed out through deportation, you must check in with your parole officer. They let them in. My little girl is about to leave our home to go off to college. She's going to walk into this world of horror that the Democrats have created. So understand, folks, when they were asked to choose the safety of Americans or illegals, you can now see why they didn't stand up. But it gets, oh, so much worse. Now, how do I know all of this? Former Fox News investigative reporter Brianna Morello sued the TSA and the Department of Homeland Security for the details of those secret internal flights Biden was providing to illegals. You know, the ones where they stand in a special line where they don't really need ID like you do. Those flights, the ones you paid for. And this was part of what she got. That's how we know about the sex offender. She wasn't expecting to find this. They just settled the lawsuit this week. She got her legal fees paid for by the Department of Homeland Security. Good for her. And published all the documents involved. Among them was the form I just read to you. Remember when the UK Daily Mail and Ben Berquam during the Biden administration broke the horrific story that they were smuggling illegal immigrants into the country on planes? Hundreds of thousands of them. And they'd use the CPB1 app to generate a silly little QR code, and you could flash that at the airport and walk right through. Now, understand, we're not talking about the parole programs for Haitians and Venezuelans. Those are actually legal under the law. Unfortunately, if there's a major disaster, the president can decide to waive you in. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about legitimate illegal immigrants, human trafficked, not by any cartel in violation of the law, but by Joe Biden himself and his administration in secret. Why am I bringing this up? Remember that form I just told you about that you could sign if you were a sex offender, they'd take you anyway? Yeah. Among the 320,000 they flew in here, they offered the same deal. Sign the little form, agree not to hang out with gangsters, agree to get counseling. Welcome to America. And they let them use the form as their ID to get on the plane to fly into America from 43 countries. Now, remember the Biden administration refused to say which airports, there were dozens of them, they landed at. We still don't know that yet. Oh, and I forgot this part. Remember I told you a minute ago that those illegal immigrant sex offenders showing up at the border could just check the form? Yeah. Well, guess what? They were then loaded onto planes too. But they didn't have valid ID. Oh, they did. You could use the form that you check the box, yeah, I'm a sex offender, I'm going to get counseling, as your ID to fly. They put these people on planes with innocent women and children. Can you imagine? All told, at least 320,000 illegal immigrants, some sex offenders, were flown into the United States this way, and countless others were allowed across the border this way. And now it all makes sense. So many sex offenders being protected in Democrat sanctuary cities. The numbers are almost astonishing. That's not my observation, but the observation of Florida Attorney General James Utmeyer after they ran a massive sting operation there, picking up thousands of sex offenders. So this was aimed at sex offenders across the state of Florida. But he was shocked in an interview with Fox News to find that every time they rolled up these sex offenders, that 20 to 30% were illegal immigrants, a massive number. They were way overrepresented until, you know, Biden brought them in personally. Here he is last year, the AG on Fox News.
Every time we do a child predator sting, 20% of those arrested are illegal aliens at least. This shows how much crime was flooding over the southern border tied to human trafficking.
He's, again, the Attorney General of Florida. And I'm glad Florida's come up here. Because of the 320,000 illegal aliens, including an untold number of sex offenders who were allowed to check the box on the form, where were the two main destinations that 90%, again, of the 320,000 Biden secretly and illegally flew in here, where were 90% dumped? Texas and Florida. Remember how desperately Democrats want to flip Texas blue. It's all they talk about. It's their number one target. And they're willing even to bring sex offenders into the country to do it. Safety be damned. Again, your bill for the 320,000, including sex offenders, by the way, some came from countries like Yemen and Iran. Your bill, $500 million. One final note as you're sitting here going, what kind of human beings could do this? Well, psychopaths. But why? I used to wonder that myself till I learned to do basic immigration math. See, each one of these sex offenders, what party do you think they're going to vote for? Not us. They're totally voting Democrat. But every sex offender, in fact, every illegal immigrant isn't one. It's 10. Because of the chain migration math, we should be using our time right now to end this. For each sex offender that comes in here on the day of amnesty, when they get their green card, like all green card holders, they will be able, on that day they get the green card, still warm in their hand from being printed, be able to fill out the forms for three more family members to come here. Now, keep in mind, we don't DNA test. It's an honor system. So the people the sex offender brings in might be their family, or it could just be three more pedophiles in their gang. Who knows? Well, those three, on the day they receive their green card, will be able to fill out forms for two family members. What's the math there? Oh, we're up to 10 total, including the original sex offending illegal immigrant. So when you read about liberals risking literally their lives confronting ICE over, say, 400 illegal immigrants, no, it's 4,000 illegal immigrants. They understand the power of chain migration. We desperately need to end it. And by the way, these numbers are very, very, very conservative because the chain goes on and on and on for decades. I only stopped it at level 3. In other words, close the border all you want, but the invasion never ends. Not if there's amnesty. Now, we can still keep them from getting a green card as long as amnesty never happens. But what better population to bring in than sex offenders who welcomed them when their own country wouldn't have them, didn't want them, might have thrown them out of prisons and empty jails like they did in Venezuela. They're totally voting Democrat forever.
Terra Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.